Veshus Marina Rav Shlita, Yashek Kochacha to Howard Shmulian for sponsoring. I'd like to give a special welcome to everybody, but especially to Jeff Levinson, who I'm delighted to see is back and recovering well. And we wish Jeff good health, a gesund and stark till 120. Yesterday we had the Sedras of Sazria Metzara, and the common topic which was discussed around Shabbos tables was the subject of Lashon Hara. And the Chofetz Chaim, I think, was very successful in spreading the word, forgive the pun, in spreading the word about Lashon Hara, that people learn the seriousness of the Aveira, which is Lashon Hara. But there is another kind of verbal abuse which is not discussed so often, and that is Onas Devarim. And we are now not just having been through the Sedra of Sazri Matsura, but also now in the period of Sfira, in Avelus, where we are commemorating the passing of 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, who showed disrespect to each other. And you think, you know, they were great Talmid Chachomim, but they were insulting to each other. They didn't show respect. Today is the 17th day of the Omer, and so as part of the Sfira, we're reflecting on a subject which can explain perhaps why we're still in Avelus. Because this topic I chose, not because anyone suggested it to me, but it's because I observed firsthand some really nasty examples of Onas Devarim, which led me to think, well, maybe this is a topic which we have to discuss. So it's not personally directed against anybody in particular, but it's a result of my own personal experience with other people outside this building. Making snide remarks, hurting people with verbal abuse. And Chazal say in the Gemara in Bava Tzir, Daf Nun Ches, that Onas Devarim is worse than Onas Mamon, which is financial cheating. You wouldn't dream of financially cheating somebody else, so why would you go around insulting people? And it's because a person who is insulted feels more distressed, whereas money earned dishonestly can be returned, but hurt feelings you can't undo, not easily anyway. And so the Pasuk says, V'lo sonu ish es amiso. In Parshas Bahar, chapter 25, verse 17, V'yoreso melokecho. You may not agree with each other. And there are other psukim as well, which specifically relate to widows, to orphans, and to gerim. V'ger lo sonu en shmos chafbeis, v'chi elchu etche ger, etc. Lo sonu oso. And again, kol almona v'yosom, lo sonu, in shmos chafbeis, kaf aleph, they are crying to me. There are people who are suffering from verbal abuse, and they, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, these people are crying to me. Shema Eshma, I will listen to their cries. I will deal with it firsthand without any shliach. I will make sure that this does not go unpunished. And I will get very angry about it. I mean, what other avera does HaKadosh Baruch Hu talk like this with? I will get very angry, and these people will die by the sword. And I will make your wives into widows, and I will turn your children into orphans. Which is another way of saying, you're in for it. You're being hanged on the dock. HaKadosh Baruch is showing such anger, more so than perhaps in any other Aveira in the Torah. Now, in the outside world, it's quite common that we hear insults. Sometimes we just see them as funny. I mean, who else is there other than Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, who we can quote, where if you go online, you can find 600 listed insults, which he's given only since he became president recently.
Probably 613.
He's getting up to 613. I mean, all right, so he called his predecessor Sleepy Joe. Okay, you might think that's funny, and he was a bit sleepy, wasn't he, Joe Biden? But it's an insult. He spoke about heartless Hillary. He's got a nickname for every single person, which is abuse. Basically, brain-dead Bernie. Well, that is Bernie Sanders, who's the biggest anti-Semite. So we have to admit that he's right. But, you know, Kim Jong, what's the guy in charge of North Korea? He's called the Little Rocket Man. Washed-up psycho. He's got insults for anybody and everybody. And even Joe Biden, who seemed so passive, he spoke about someone who was a lying dog-faced pony soldier on Obama, the first Afro-American whose bright and clean, not to insult Obama, but all the other Afro-Americans. So we see it happening so much, and these people are statesmen. They are the role models who are meant to show an example to society, and yet they are committing this. All right, you could say that Lo Sono is a Shamisa, it's not one of the seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach, it's one of the 613 commandments. So you might say, well, they're not bound by it, but at least they could have a little bit of decency. People are insulting, people are abusive. Jonathan Landau, you kindly reminded me of a story about the Chofetz Chaim, where a landlord, all right, wasn't Onas Devar, but a landlord ruthlessly kicked out a widow from her flat because she hadn't paid rent into the cold snow. All right, she hadn't paid her rent, so why shouldn't he do what he does? But the Chofetz Chaim said his punishment is coming. And soon enough, a dog came and bit the landlord and killed him. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is suffering when he sees especially the almona, the widow, the orphan, and the ger being abused. But Rashi writes on that posuk, on the almona v'yosem, v'uadin l'chol adam, but this applies to everybody. The Torah is stressing the almona and the yosem, but it's for anyone. You are not allowed to insult others. And of course, if we're going to delve into English literature, who was better than William Shakespeare to give insults? I mean, he wrote in Henry IV, Part 2, "Thou clay-brained guts, thou knotty painted fool." I mean, he did loads of insults. "I'm sick when I do look upon thee, Midsummer Night's Dream. Thou hast no more brain than I have in mine elbows." I mean, he was very good at creating insults as well. But let's face it, in the Yiddish language, is full of them. I mean, we all know what the common words are. You know what a shlemiel is, you know what a shlemazel is. You call somebody a shlemiel or a shlemazel, that's an insult. It's onos devarim. You know what the difference is between the shlemiel and the shlemazel. The shlemiel is the one who falls over with the soup, and the shlemazel is the one it lands on. But then you've got the nudnik. The nudnik's the one who's always asking questions. He wants to know what kind of soup it is. And then you've got the kochaleffel. Kochaleffel means stirring the spoon. He's the one who stirs up the trouble and reports it to the council for lack of hygiene in that restaurant. And so you've got the word na, the chashefa. They take it from the Hebrew, chaza. These are all insults in Yiddish. And the Yiddish has more insults in it perhaps than any other language. So are we to be proud of this? This is not the badge of the Jewish people. And many, however, will say, well, you know, what he said was quite funny. I mean, if I may just leave English literature alone for the moment, but keep to a bit more of English politics. So Winston Churchill, who did so much good in fighting the Nazis, never he died on my Bar Mitzvah weekend. And he was reputed to have said to Lady Astor, he said to I may be, she accused him of being drunk. He said, "I may be drunk, miss, but in the morning I will be sober and you will still be ugly." Apparently Lady Astor said to him, "If you were my husband, I would put poison in your tea." And he answered her, "Nancy, if you were my wife, I would drink it." Now, all right, I'm supposed to be giving a share now, but I can't help resist quoting Mark Twain, who said, "Why do you sit there looking like an envelope without any address on it?" And I once quoted a teacher of mine at Hasmonean, who said, "If your brains would be made of gunpowder, there would not be enough to blow your silly little couple off.
Your brains would stick a dynamite."
Oh.
Were you there?
We got another gear, sir.
I love Mishnah when he was there.
Pardon?
I love Mishnah when he was there.
Oh, yeah, he was a lovely fellow, but I'm sorry, this is onos devarim. It's insulting. You know, and you might say, well, a child has to be educated. So the Sefer Chinuch talks about this, that this mitzvah applies b'chol makom b'chol zman, every time, every place, with male and female, v'afilu b'ktanim. He stresses that this applies also when you're talking to children, that you're not allowed to insult them. Yeah, you have to educate them. Okay, so you say to a child, this is not the way we behave. You say to a child, you've crossed the red line. You say to a child, this is not the Jewish way. But you don't say to a child, you're a loser. You will never get anywhere in life. Because you're not educating them, you're just humiliating them and hurting them emotionally. You're an incompetent buffoon. You've got nothing between your ears. I'm sorry to say this, but I've heard people say this to... I know a guy who said to his daughter, "Nobody will ever want to marry you." Now that's not educating. That's hate. That's cruelty. That's onos devarim. If a guy says to his daughter, "I will never come to your wedding," That's hurtful. That's not nice. It shows something wrong with his character, not hers. But just the words to say, you're a stupid idiot. Unfortunately, a lot of parents say this to kids. That is onas davarim. It's an isul habdaraisa. And it's worse than eating pork. It's worse than wearing shatnas. You know why? Because with lo sonu isesham, it says, v'yoresom elokecho. It says straight afterwards, and you shall fear your God. It doesn't say that phrase with eating chaza, eating pork, wearing shatnas, or eating chomets on Pesach. It doesn't say that. V'yoresom elokecho, because Hashem takes it so seriously. And where else does Hashem say, v'chora apiv arati eschem v'chorem, and I will make your wives into widows and your children into orphans, because this is how seriously HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes this. That is why we're having this period of the Sfira, where for 7 weeks we are mourning the loss of 24,000 Talmidei Chachomim, because they were insulting each other. And when we were kids, we were told this nursery rhyme, but it's not true, this nursery rhyme. We were told, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words shall never hurt me. It's a myth. Words do hurt. Words do have consequences. So it's all like the tooth fairy. It's not true. In my first week in yeshiva, I walked into the Beis HaMedrash and there was another guy calling somebody else a chocolate-faced twit. I mean, in yeshiva, right? So I went up to this fellow. I said, excuse me, you're a yeshiva boch here, aren't you? How can you talk like that? How dare you talk to a fellow like this? Okay, he was dark-skinned, but so what? Well, when I was a planning officer in the local authority, a woman came in and said to me, I have to speak to you privately. Those people next door to me, they're Indian. Pardon? They're Indian. I said, oh, really? My wife's Indian. All right, I may have been lying, but... But she did have a tan on her face that people asked me, is she Indian? So the Sefer HaChinuch lists examples. He says, there's already a mission about this above and see on the Gemara there, that if you are talking to a Baal Teshuva, you have to be very careful and very sensitive not to remind him of his past. It might be hurtful to him. You might be factual. You're not saying anything you'll think offensive. But if he's shaking a lot in his davening and you say to him, cool it a bit, why are you so frum? Only 3 months ago you were driving a car on Shabbos. You don't talk like that. That's onas davarim. It's an issur d'oraisa. Zechor ma'asecha harishonim. And then if you misdirect somebody, you give them misleading advice. If somebody asks you the way to somewhere, and you know, you stop people in Israel, you ask them the way, they go, yashay, 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 yamina. Sometimes they might give you directions which are not true. That is onas davarim. It's deceit. It might not be a personal insult, but to say to somebody, the Gemara there talks about if you see a donkey driver and he's looking for hay for his donkey and he asks you where can he buy hay, you don't tell him to go to the off-license wine shop. If you do, that's onas davarim. And you know, you do it deliberately because you know that that shop does not have any hay to sell for his donkey. That is onas davarim. It's not even a personal insult. If you go into a shop and you're not interested in buying anything, but you're curious to know what something costs, either because you're just curious or because you want to find out for his competitors or whatever it is, if you just want to find out what something costs and you say, how much is this article? That is onas davarim if you are not intending to buy it. You have to say, listen, I'm not intending to buy right now, but I'm interested to know what this costs. Fine. But you are working up, you chat up the guy who's the shopkeeper about this article and he starts telling you all about it and he starts his sales talk. You're working him up into thinking that he's got a customer. That is deceit. That's onas davarim, even though it's not a personal insult. So, the Rambam writes, what about if you say, well, I'm teaching this person Torah and I'm telling him off? Well, tochacha is something else. Education is something else. Well, we spoke before about how you speak to a child. This is not the way we speak in Judaism. But he says, if it's kedei lelamdom Torah o umdus, or to teach them a trade, o lolicham baderech yeshara, to put someone in the right path, harizu muta, it's allowed to give some strong language, but it mustn't be personally offensive. Barachamim, he says, barachamim gedolim v'kovet. You can still speak respectfully. The story is told of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who came to a small playground and he saw his grandkids there. So he went up to them and greeted them and kissed them. But he didn't want the other children to lose out, to be ignored. So he went up to them and greeted them and kissed them as well. Well, you have to be careful nowadays. You'll be done. You'll be done for abuse. And so the Shalos Teshuvos Chasam Sofer in Choshen Mishpat Kufayin Vav is asked a question about a shochet. A shochet whose wife gave birth to a baby girl. And he was walking along the street and he met a mohel who came from the local town. But the mohel, he said to him, "You know, it comes to me a mazel tov." "Yeah, what's happened?" He said, "My wife's given birth to a boy. Will you be the mohel?" This mohel travelled 4 hours to go to the bris. He came to the shul, moo. He says, "Where's the yungala? Where's the little boy?" They said, "What are you talking about? There was no baby boy born. It was a baby girl." The fellow said, "I was doing it just as a practical joke. I didn't mean any harm. It was a practical joke." The chasam sefer paskand, we disqualify this shochet. He committed an avera daraisa of onos devorim, and he's not allowed to trade as a shochet anymore. So what is it about onos devorim which makes it so much more significant? The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke in the Pasuk, the Maharal writes on this in the Sivas Olam, and he says something which is really profound and deep. He says, when you hurt a person's feelings with words, it hits other parts which other things don't reach, so to speak. He says it hits into the nefesh of the person. It goes into the person's soul. Other averus which people do might not permeate as much as this. But when you say harmful words to a person, it permeates his nefesh. That it becomes super sensitive, just like the eye of the body is very delicate. And that the eye can become infected from something very, very small. So the nefesh becomes affected from onos devorim. And the nefesh is linked to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asher biyodo nefesh kol chai. So you cannot, although you might give suffering to a cow or to a dog, it's not the same because they don't have a nefesh. And that is why it's worse than many of these others. And sadly, I know personally of cases of people who thought they would do practical jokes and they thought, well, there's no harm in it. We all share a good laugh. And I became aware of a person who I knew very well who was a single and he went on a Jewish dating website and he came across a guy who was also single who was davening next to him in shul. This guy was davening next to him in shul for a number of years. So what did this guy who found this on the website do? He thought, oh, I'll play a little joke. He pretended to be a young lady. And he corresponded with that fellow, pretending to be a young lady. And over a few months, building up this online relationship, already talking about meeting up, building up this fellow's expectations. When the rabbi of that synagogue heard what had happened, because it came out in the end, he went up to this fellow and said, "Get out of this shul and don't come back here ever again." But that wasn't all. This fellow, about 6 or 12 months later, developed a very serious illness. And he wasn't an old fellow, but he died short afterwards. And although I don't like saying, well, you know, people died because of this, people died because of that, because sometimes we got tzaddikim who passed away at a young age, and we don't always understand Hashem's intentions. But sometimes, when we got questions about Hashem's actions, we can see sometimes plainly what Hashem is doing, and sometimes it takes us time to find out what Hashem is doing. But I know of another fellow in northwest London who openly mocked his rabbi in front of other people. And the rabbi, in his dignity, just swallowed it, didn't say anything. But this fellow, who was abusive, again, died from a similar illness very soon afterwards. When it comes to personal insult, Kodesh Baruch Hu has zero tolerance. And you compare it to Avodah Zorah, you know, somebody's idol-worshipping, Hashem, he doesn't like it, obviously. It's not right. It's against the halacha. But Kodesh Baruch Hu takes it in his stride. Okay, maybe he'll do teshuva. Look at the Dor HaFlogah and the Dor HaMabul. The Dor HaFlogah In Parsha, the end of Parshas Noach, right, they were trying to defy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were going against Hashem by trying to build a high tower block, apart from the fact that it didn't have planning permission. And in doing so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them confused, changed their languages, made them all mixed up. Okay, he played the games with them. Didn't kill them off. But in the Dar HaMabul, when they showed disrespect to each other, when they were stealing from each other, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can't tolerate this. He destroyed the world with the flood. So when it comes to Bein Odom L'Chaveiro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I take this much more seriously. You know, this is not something I'm giving tolerance for. Avodah Zarah, well, you know, okay. The golden calf, well, okay, I forgive you. Amazing contrast. And even just sarcasm. Sarcasm is a very hostile, although it's passive, but it's also aggressive form of communication. It's a form of bullying. It's intended to belittle somebody else, to humiliate somebody, and to raise one's own stature. So it's not humour. People think it's funny. It's not humour, it's hostility. It's the lowest form of wit. So what's the question I was thinking of asking is, What about April Fool tricks? What about jokes you're thinking, oh, well, it's 1st of April. Or you see it Purim time. You think, oh, I can do a joke on somebody. So what's the situation there? Are these things allowed? And the problem I had is that my mother, Allah Shalom, she wanted us kids to do an April Fool joke on her. She wanted it. Please, you know, don't forget about it. Now, the question is this. When you're doing an April Fool trick, it can cause a lot of anguish to somebody. Right? That's an ostavorin. That's suffering. So you can't do that. Well, I did once get hold of a printed letter heading when I was a schoolboy at Hasmonean. As Chatoa Nimas Kirayo. I got hold of a printed letter heading of Hasmonean Grammar School for Boys. So I typed on it a letter to my parents because we were next door neighbours. Our garden adjoined the playground. And I came through the fence to school. It was great. So I wrote this letter in the name of the headmaster, asking my parents for permission for the art students to sit in their back garden to draw sketches of the school buildings. And that letter was sent in the post and arrived at my home address. And I did this to arrive on the 1st of April. And my mother said, what a chutzpah. How dare they do? But she didn't suffer anguish, but she was clearly annoyed. How dare they do such a thing? First, they break our garden fence. And they don't do anything about repairing it. And then he wants to shoot to see in our garden. And I said, Mummy, today is the 1st of April. But whether I was perhaps breaching any halacha, maybe I was, I'm not sure. Because it did give her temporarily a feeling of distress. So I realised afterwards, maybe that's not the right way. She couldn't tell the difference on the phone between my brother's voice and my voice when we were both talking long distance. I was engaged in Yeshiva and he was abroad. And so we did four phone calls, two each. The first phone call, I imitated my brother about something. The second phone call, he imitated me. And then the third phone call, I was myself. The third one, he was himself. And she knew it was the 1st of April trick. She knew it was funny. And she was just trying to work out which one was whom. Okay, right. Okay, in good taste. And you do get articles in like Jewish Tribune newspapers before Purim, which are jokes about, you know, what's been happening in Shushan. And it's done in all good spirit, as long as it's not causing anguish to anybody. But if it's something which causes anguish and personal suffering, then it's against the halacha. Rav Hirsch writes in Bihar, he says, this concept of Onos Devarim is done because people want to humiliate others. They want to control others. They want to take advantage of other people's weaknesses. They want to feel that they're in control. And that is why it's in the Parsha about Shemitah and Yovel. Because that's where Hashem is in control. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, don't think for one moment you're in control of anything. It's all under me. So some people might think, well, in the privacy of my own house, I can talk how I like. I'm a boss, but that's not true. I once had a phone call from a client of mine, and at the end of the phone call, I didn't put the phone down straight away because I had it on speaker on the table, and usually the other person rings off, so I don't have to ring off. This is a person highly respected in the community, gives a lot of tzedakah, very nice, appears to be a very nice person, and he davens with such kavana, and he's very particular about his mitzvahs. But when I ended that phone call, I did not put the phone down. He forgot to put his phone down, and I could hear him shouting at other people in his family in a very abusive way. It was shocking for me. I couldn't believe it. So this is something very important. In the privacy of one's own house, how are we speaking to our own spouses? How are we speaking to our own children? And the Gemara in Baba Matzia says, "La'olam yezoy ba'onas ishto." A person has to be very careful about the way he speaks to his wife. A wife is more sensitive than other people because she relies on you. She puts trust in you. She loves you. And the Torah says, "V'simach es ishta." All right, you'll say that's the first year of marriage. You have to make your wife happy, but it should always be that way.
To make one a woman as well.
Right, so that's not fair. Why doesn't the Torah say that she should make me happy? It says I have to make her happy. Okay, that's a topic for a discussion for new chassanim, isn't it? But believe me, if you make your wife happy, she'll reflect it and she'll make
you
happy.
We're all new
chassanim. Well, yeah, we're all newlyweds, aren't we? But the trick is this. When you got married, you gave her a ksuva. She didn't give you one. And what's written in that ksuva, which is often overlooked, is, if one deserts her, one will finance her. There's more than that in the ksuva. There is one word in the ksuva, which is the most important word of all, said Rav Pam, and that is v'okir. V'okir v'izun v'arpanes. V'okir means, and I will show her affection, and I will be endeared to her. I will give her dignity and honor. That's v'okir. And then v'izun, I will feed her v'arpanes, I will pay her bills. Okay, she wants a new pair of shoes every month. You can negotiate. But on the v'okir, there is no negotiation. You have to show affection. That is the main part of the ksuva. The Vilna Gaon said, he wrote that in every single house there are angels which are transcribing everything that we say inside our houses. And this dialogue will be played back to us after 120 years. The full president, Richard Nixon, he secretly recorded 3,700 hours of conversations in the White House and the Oval Office, and just between 1971 and 1973, the cabinet room, and that led to him resigning in 1974 with the Watergate scandal. He was himself recording all the conversations, but the angels are doing it for us, as the Vilna Gaon. People make insensitive, mindless comments. Sometimes they say, well, I didn't mean it that way. It wasn't intended. You know, surely, I know the rhyme is when you intend to do it, you want to hurt somebody. But I didn't mean to say something which might have sounded tactless. So they visit a sick person, you know, mitzvah, bikul cholim. And they say to this sick person, oh, did I suffer? I had the same thing. You're going to feel it every time it's raining. Is that encouragement? Is that nice to say to somebody when they're visiting the sick? That is onas devarim. When you visit them, you can say, yeah, I had it as well. I promise you, you'll be better by the time your son's chasna comes out. You'll be dancing at it, and I will be dancing with you. That's what you can say to a sick person. But not somebody, oh, I tell you what, I suffered the same thing, and boy, did I go through hell.
Isn't there a famous Shabbat Rabbi Shlomo coming out of that? When his wife was nifter, and he said, I never ever said a harsh word.
Yes, when he was going down the staircase, his wife had just died half an hour before, and he was going down a long staircase in the hospital, and he met one of his bochrim, or one of his married students, and he said, Rebbe, my wife's just had a baby girl. Oh, Mazel Tov! And he looked so joyous and happy from it. And the Bocher didn't know till afterwards that he had just lost his wife, but he showed such happiness to share the joy of the Bocher, to hide his own grief and sadness. And when he came to the Levaya and they said to him, as they often do, please ask Mechila from your wife, he said, I can honestly and proudly say, I do not have to ask Mechila, forgiveness from my wife, for anything. We had such a wonderful relationship. So, you know, you say to people, oh, you don't know, you have no idea what my wife went through, what you're going to suffer. And it's the same with Shidduchim. People come up to innocent Bochrim girls and they say to them, no, what are you waiting for? they're suffering from it. They want to find their match. They don't, but people accuse them. They say, is nobody good enough for you? That's not nice. You don't talk to people like that. In fact, I didn't get married that young, and I had people say to me, no, what's wrong with you? Oh, thank you very much. Is that nice? Is that encouraging? People say, Im Yirtzeh Hashem by dear, please God by you. Yeah, it's very nice when the girl or the boy is 18, 19, 20. But once they're past that age a bit, Rav Pam specifically stopped saying Im Yirtzeh Hashem by dear because he didn't feel that they took it the way it was intended. They were suffering from it. We have to be sensitive to these people. And what about when you go to a shiva house? You go to a shiva house, people say things, they don't mean to be nasty.
Oh,
didn't they have a good inning? Did he suffer? Was he very ill? Oh, he was young, it must have been a punishment. That's the worst thing you can say at a shiva. But I've been at shivas where people say, even more innocent sounding, don't worry, you'll get over it. The guy's just lost his mother or his father. You don't say, don't worry, you'll get over it. The guy's lost his wife, he won't get over it. But why do you have to say this? And even if it's not a direct insult, I was once at a shiva here in Hendon, and there was to be mincha at 1 o'clock, and at 1:05, somebody goes up to the ovel and says, no, it's 1 o'clock, past 1 o'clock already, well, why don't we start? Is that the way you talk at a shiva? Okay, if you're in North Hendon, or if you're in Milks, yeah, all right, we're late, let's start, okay. But at a shiva, you're coming there to give comfort to the mourners. You're not there to tell them to start davening on time. So they daven a few minutes late. So what? Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski made a Kabbalah every Erev Yom Kippur. Lachshev kodem kol divur. That I should think before every single thing that I say. Before I say it, I think, is it the right thing to say? Not much time, but I'm going to tell you a story before I finish off. I'm going to tell you a story about a lady called Rivka Heller. Not related to anyone in Golders Green nowadays. This story happened in the early 1800s. She was a great-granddaughter of Rav Yom Tov Lipman Heller, who was the Tosfos Yom Tov, who wrote a very famous Perush on the Mishnayos. You see it in all the Mishnayos Sforim. And she was a fine lady, and she had her ambition to marry a fine Talmid Chochem. Her father was running a business. I think it was a liquor business, but he had to travel a lot on business, so he put her in charge of the shop. And somebody, apparently it was a competitor, started spreading nasty rumours about her, that she's got loose morals and she's not somebody to associate with, but she was totally innocent. Basically, she couldn't find a shidduch because everyone spoke bad about her from these rumours. It was ruining her completely. She was suffering very, very much from it. But she was davening hard that she should marry a Talmid Chacham. In the end, a Shadchan recommended her to marry a guy who was not a Talmid Chacham at all. In fact, he was regarded in social stature the lowest of the lowest. He was called Aaron the Shmeiser. He was the one whose job was to whip the horses. He wasn't even as important as riding the horses, as being in charge of the carriage, but his job was to whip the horses. His intellect wasn't that great, but that was his job. Okay, if you earn them living honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. But that was his job. He was called Ara the Shmeiser. And on her wedding day, she davened. She davened, crying Takarash Baruch Hu. And she quoted the posuk which we say in the Haftarah Brochus, V'la Luvas Nefesh Toshia. That we say that our souls are humiliated and should be saved because we're in Golus and so on. And she was saying, I am Oluv or Aluvo. I am suffering. And I ask you, please, may I give birth to Talmidei Chachomim from this marriage. And they got married. His name was Aaron. Her name was Rivka. And they had 4 sons who all became Gedolim Batorah. Yechiel, Yeshua, Yisrael, and Meir. Rav Yechiel was appointed the Rav of his town in Lusk in Belarus at the age of 21. He wrote a famous Shalosh Teshuvos called Amudei Or. Or, Aleph of Resh, to reflect the names of his parents, Aaron Verivka. And if you look at his Teshuvos, you can see them on HebrewBooks.org, in every tshuva, he signs his name Ha'olov. Ha'olov Yechiel Hela. What's Ha'olov? The humiliated one. He carried forward the suffering which he felt, which his mother had felt. And that is amazing, because look what happened as a result of this marriage, that she was rewarded with such Gedolei Yisrael, the other brothers as well, the Gedolim, Otzum. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears suffering, he answers the davening more than with any other davening. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees our person has been abused, whether it's verbally or physically, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels that pain, and those are the prayers that he answers first. And that's an important message to remember now in the time of Sfira, and when we come to this period and we reflect, we have to stop calling people nasty names, chocolate-faced twits, or whatever. We think, oh, it's a joke, I was only trying to be funny. That is a serious, worse than eating pork, and worse than eating chometz, and so on. So we have here a few stories. We can laugh at some of what the politicians are saying, but the underlying message is, just like Lashon Hara is very serious, we've got to get our act together with our Nos Devarim, and especially with our members of our family, and especially with our children and our grandchildren, to know that our words can hurt them for the rest of their lives. And with that, we can carry forward that we will not have a period of avelus anymore during the Sfira. Thank you very much.